It's been tough. We're here. We're honoring Christ. But people are battle weary, and rightfully so. But at the same time, we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hello. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's still worthy to be praised. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. Some of you here are walking through some stuff. You're grieving, but you're still here. It's a testimony of the faith that you have in God, regardless of your circumstances, because you've been through too much, you've seen too much to turn away now. You can't. And I believe that scripture when it says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. If you are walking with the Lord and allowing him to speak to you, that love is going to drive out that fear in your life. And I feel like I need to share that. It's going to drive it out. Because what's happening, and what could very easily happening, is for you to get ensnared by your own lack of what you think you don't have. What might happen next year. This is what I do know about next year. God's already there. He's already there. And listen, he was already in the beginning of this year. And by the way, he was already there before the foundations of the world. He was already there before he even thought about you. He already knew what was going to be like. He already knew how it was going to go. He already knew it. He already had a plan. And so there is no escaping God's grasp and his eye. He sees it. The problem is, what are you seeing? And what you need to be looking at right now is the finished work of Christ. You need to be looking at the fact that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no changing in him. It doesn't matter what has happened this year. It does not matter what you thought it was going to look like. God is still good, and he's still faithful. There's an emphasis right now on the goodness of God and being able to recognize that God is still good. It doesn't matter what it looked like. It doesn't matter how it felt. It's not supposed to feel right all the time. If it felt right all the time, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't continue to walk, because it's not about the feel. You get in trouble because of the feel. What God promised will come to pass. It will, regardless. I don't care what the enemy has tried to do, how he's tried to sift you, how he's tried to adjust you, how he's tried to push you aside and kill you. God's promise will come to pass. It will come to pass. It will. Isaiah chapter 9. Alan, go ahead. In verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Luke 1:37. We talked about this last week. For no word from God will ever fail. The government shall be upon his shoulder. That means rule and dominion rests with him. He reigns over it all. He sees it all. He makes decrees. He makes judgments. Nothing happens without him seeing it and knowing about it. So if you can understand that, it can give you more of a confidence. Even though you may not understand it, you know that God is turning it the way it's supposed to turn, making it work out for your good, because all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. But deeper than that, because God is good. He works it out. And so he knows how to rule. He knows what to turn. He knows what to turn up. He knows what to change. He knows what to switch. So don't think that someone is telling God what to do. God doesn't need anybody to tell him what to do. Read the book of Job. And the conversation that God had with Job. For him to understand that I am God and you are not. That I created this and you did not. I understand how it works, you don't. You come into alignment with me, I don't come into alignment with you. And so when you can understand that there needs to be a role reversal, that you are not on the throne and God is on the throne, then you can rest in the fact that God's going to direct it and God's going to lead it, even if that means you walk in persecution. Even if that means you walk in oppression, even if that means something comes at you that is not comfortable. If you read any portion of the Bible, especially old and the new, it is not an easy, we're going to call it, quote, religion. It is not a soft walk. He did not call you to softness. He did not call you so you can feel good the whole time. God is enacting his plan and purpose that he has had before the foundations of the world in eternity past. And he is enacting it in different seasons and times and asking you to walk with him in those different seasons and times, even though you may not get it. And so if he calls you into that walk, it is a privilege to get into that walk, because you are now walking with the King of Kings, the King of Kings. The government is on his shoulders. Hey, I see it. You're walking with me. And his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonder. Wonder. You can't just describe him as, well, he's wonderful. No, it's wonder. It's wonder. There's nothing that you can put God into that sufficiently describes who he is. That's why in the Old Testament, he says, hey, I am that I am. You can't put me in a box and say I am this way. I just am the way I am. I'll move in and out of stuff. I'll create things. I'll tear them down. You won't be able to understand it fully and completely, but I know what I'm doing. I am self-sufficient. I can bring healing. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am your righteousness. I am your light. I am your peace. I'm that God. And so when we begin to recognize that God is who he says he is, it takes our eyes off the circumstance and we look upon him and say, you know what? It is small for you to do what I am asking you to do right now. Because of how vast you are. If you are spinning the earth with your foot, and you hold the whole world, not just the world, but the universe in your hands, why can't you help me take care of my rent? Why can't you help me? And God says, I can take care of it. What I want to help you understand is that I am what you need. This season has brought us to that point. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it repeatedly. It showed where your allegiance was. And God was saying, I am coming in, and I am pushing stuff out of the way so you can stop looking at everything else and focus on me. Because I've been here the whole time. Where you been? And so I'm just trying to get you to see me. And so when you couldn't see me and you were looking there and you couldn't find me and you were looking there and they weren't doing it for you, I allowed it to happen so that you can turn your eyes back on me and focus on me. Because I've always been. I've always had a plan for you. I've always wanted to speak to you. I've always wanted to enact my will in the earth today. But I need you to look at me. It's about me. It's about me, not about you. It's about me and about what I want, God said. It's my rule. What if you don't like the rule? It doesn't matter. It's still the rule. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's hard to pray. Because what happens is that once we get to that, the door starts to open and people start to walk out. Because I thought this was supposed to be about me. I thought that God was supposed to take care of me. I thought he was about to answer every one of my needs. I thought I was supposed to get every prayer met and every prayer answered. I thought this wasn't going to happen. And when that stuff doesn't happen, what it's easier for you to escape. And you were never taught that a real walk with Christ is hard and it's difficult and it requires the crucifying of your will and your emotions so that you can walk with him into what he has, his perfect plan. It's one of the reasons why the Bible talks about not being conformed to the pattern of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can understand what God's will is, his good, acceptable, and perfect will. So that means transformation takes place in the mind. So that means I'm going to be in a situation where I'm going to have to think differently. And the only way that I begin to think differently is that if I get into the Word, apply the Word to my situation, and as I continue to walk in Him, God begins to change my mind about some stuff so I see it differently. How many of you see things differently now than you did last year? What you thought was important is not quite that important anymore. Especially if you survive cancer, a death of a loved one, a job loss, you begin to see that the things that I thought really mattered don't matter as much, but my relationship with the Lord, don't take that. Because it's what you value that's important. And so God's been kicking over crutches all year, all year. Stuff that you've been holding on and you're having a hard time stabilizing yourself. And God says, no, I'm going to come up and I'll undergird you, but I want that gone. You've been holding on that for years. Gone. There was stuff that God's been dealing with you about areas of your life. He said, listen, I've been dealing with you for years on that thing. It's time to get it right. We were having a conversation the other day. There is an urgency for the church to get right, to get right. Because of what God wants to do in the earth. If His church and His bride is not right, then the effectiveness of the church and the bride cannot be what it should be. Because He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And so if we are spotted and we have blemishes all over ourselves, how are you supposed to represent Christ to a lost and dying world? Because you can't effectively speak healing or speak peace because it's not happening for you. Because you're still caught up in stuff that God's trying to get you out of. You want your inheritance, and God has allowed you to have your inheritance, but you've gone off into a far land, maybe not physically, but you've gone off into a far land in your mind and in your heart, and you squandered it. And you're wondering, where is God? And God said, I never called you to squander it. I let you have it just to see. Because I'm a good father. But I wanted you to see the fact that you need me. And that when I ask you to do something, I give you the grace to do it. And I'm going to do it in the right time. And I want you to have a relationship with me. And if you remember Israel, Israel was so desperate that they wanted a king. You remember? Oh, we want to be like everybody else. And God said, really? Really? All right. Just make sure, Samuel, you tell them what this king's going to do. And their response was, it doesn't matter. We still want them. And God said, have it your way. It's not the fact that God left him or abdicated his responsibility, because God is still good, because in the wings, God had somebody he was grooming. But God will sometimes give you something that you think you want just to show you that you don't want that. Enough persecution, enough damage to your emotion, enough battling of your will make you wake up and say, you know what? God's way is better, because there's too much of me and there's too much conflict in the way I want to do it as opposed to the way God wants to do it. Hey, better be difficult in God's will than in my own. And God is so good, He will let you test the water just to see. That's not for you. Not for you. Don't think that God is not a good father, that He won't allow you to grow up and He won't allow you to experience things for yourself. But at the same time, don't think that God is a man that He should lie and that His grace won't pull you back and see what the truth actually is. So if you really think that you have to grow up and experience all that the world has to offer, God will sometimes take you up on that offer. But I believe what God's doing in the church this year is saying, church, there's no time for you to grow up and try to find out how life is without me. Because the government shall be upon my shoulder. And if you look in the Old Testament and you look at what's happening in the world today, you know the fact that the only one who could steer it the way it needs to be steered is God Himself. He said, counselor, He's the advisor. The advisor. I don't know what to do. You got someone in there who could advise you. You know, remember when you were growing up and you went to the guidance counselor, which a lot of, now you look back and it was almost a waste of time. because they didn't quite get what you were doing. They're like, I think you should take this class. And you're like, well, should I really? And you didn't. You're like, what do you do? But because they were supposed to have your best interests in mind, and that was for some education thing we were trying to accomplish. But what about God when he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you somebody. So now we have the Holy Spirit inside of us as the advisor. He is the advisor who knows how to show you what to do and where to go. And so if you're asking for direction, you have someone who can give you direction. And what does that mean? Well, that means that when I continue to press into God, how many of you this year would say, God has spoken to me more clearly this year than years past? Okay, more. Yes, 8 people pressed in this year. It's good. It's good. Because why? You were forced to. Because you don't often do it unless you're pressed or forced. But God presses you and he forces you to say, hey, we got to talk on a different level. We've got to talk. There's some advising we have to do in the spirit so that we can see what's really going on and get through this together. There are some things that God has done miraculously in your life this year that would not have happened if you weren't tuned in. Because you would have missed it. There are things that God has set up for you this year that you walked into that you don't know how you did it, but God just did it miraculously. Because why? You were tuned into him. And it's not that God did not want to do it, but it's the fact that once you're tuned in and aligned to what God's doing, you can see it more clearly. That God has always been there. Always. I'm always directing you. I'm always guiding you. I'm always that finger on the back of your shoulder that's saying, hey, this is the way. You know, looking back over the year, you can say, oh man, God was good there. I can't remember when I got through that. Man, can you imagine? You remember what we did this year? I was going back and looking. We got through Easter. We got through all this stuff in this pandemic. I was just thinking about the goodness of God and all the stuff that it caused us to have to do outside the box. Get out of your comfort zone and stop doing it like normal and having to create and invent and do things and struggle in order for the gospel message to continue to go forward. But how to do it differently, because God was saying, hey, I'm pushing you. We're coming into a time right now where you're going to need to be creative. You're going to need to be sold out. You're going to need to be bought in. You're going to have to do it a different way. But wasn't God good? Isn't he good? Even in the times where we didn't know what was happening, still pushing you. Yes. Still showing you. Thank you, Lord, for the hard times and that your grace was there. When you can begin to thank him for the grace that was there, it's easier to see that he's for me. He's for me. Mighty God. There's no other God like him. None. None. The Bible says, who can you compare me with? Have you tried? Who can you compare him with? He raises up kings, tears them down. No sooner are things planted, he rips it up. You think you finally got to a place in your life where things are the way it's supposed to be? God says, we won't change it. You think you're in a position where things won't change, and all of a sudden God comes through and changes. You think that you can't see no more, and all of a sudden, God does a thing and says, oh, there you are, and he shows you. That's who God is, mighty God, not like him, can go back and do something in your past so that you can be free today, so that you can have hope for tomorrow. That type of God. The stuff, you know the stuff, you don't talk to nobody about, but that stuff that God says, that's been ailing you, that I can go back and heal that, and that my love can come in and bind that up so that you can actually see clearly and be more whole and still have relationships that are fruitful, that type of thing, and know that I'm your God. There's no one like me. That type of God. You know, that's the type of God that he wants to be in your life. That's the type of God. I love people. I love them. But at the same time, they can't give me what God can give me. I know it's hard because we look at people as resources, but they can't give you what only God can give you. Remember when Jesus was in the New Testament and they were dialoguing with the Pharisees and they were talking about who he was. And he said, hey, listen, I have food to eat that you've got no idea. That type of food. I'm eating on a level that you have no idea. You can't eat with me on this level. Because when I eat on this level, there are things that I am hearing from God that makes me continue to walk and do the things that God has called me to do and not what everybody else wants me to do. Because remember what they were doing to him. Hey, bro, you can't heal that day. Hey, You can't raise him up. Hey, who are you really? You don't think that he have a sense of direction and purpose to where he was going? He had to. But that type of God who binds it up so that you can walk in healing and to do what he's called you to do, regardless of what everybody else was doing. Isn't that what the issue is? Isn't that what the issue? You got to separate yourself from the opinion of everybody else and say, okay, God, what are you calling me to do? And can I be satisfied in the grace that you call me to walk in apart from everybody else? Meaning, can you take up your cross and follow him daily, even though there might not be people coming with you? And that's the key. Well, everybody else is doing it. That's not what I've called you to do. What's your road? And if you can find yourself in a position where you're valued and loved, then it's easier for you to walk in even the hard places because you know that God is with you. Because why? He is the light of the world. Light of the world. Shining the light where you need to go. Through the word of God, it being a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, but also showing you and giving you vision of how to get out of that and move through that and what is true. God will never fail. He will never fall short. He will always come through and give you what you need when you need it. Sometimes it's just a matter of just seeing a little bit for you to keep going. And he'll give it to you so you can keep moving. But you got to take up your cross and follow him because he's God. Apart from everybody else, he could look down at your situation, thousands of people, and say, no, I see Sharon. Sharon, this is what you got to do, girl. A God who loves you, who loves mankind, but loves you individually. That's the type of God I want to serve, to know that in a crowd of 10,000, guess what? He could see me. Why? Because the Spirit of God is living inside of me, and that Spirit of God can bear witness with me and says, oh, I hear God talking. God will show you stuff at the most unopportune times if you're just listening and yielded. You'll be in conversations and God will just drop things in your spirit. He'll illuminate you to hear because the Spirit of God is living inside of you. That's the type of God that we serve. He'll give you words of knowledge and word of wisdom for people. He'll be able to tell you what to steer clear from and what to keep moving into. That type of God, because he loves you and wants a relationship with you. Not perfection, because we're not going to be perfect, but being perfected, but loved at the same time. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Do you know what that means? Having no end. Having no end. The everlasting gobstop. Remember that, Willy Wonka? That thing never lost its flavor. That type of God. You're just tasting and seeing that God is good, but the flavor is just not going out. It's just getting better. He doesn't run short on supply. He's got what you need. What he's given you tastes good. It may not feel good, but it tastes good. Sometimes God will give you stuff that's hard because it's good for you. But isn't that what God is trying to do in his church now? Where do we get off the train? Where do we lose that fear of God? Where do we lose who God was? And now God is calling his church back to say, hey, it's time for you to rise up and be the church that I've called you to be. That means take the hard stuff. Take the medicine. That means getting your butt kicked sometimes. If someone were to ask me, can you describe your relationship with the Lord? I would say it is worth it, but on the regular, I feel like I'm getting my butt whooped. Because as a child of God, I'm learning how to endure discipline as a good soldier. But at the same time, because I'm enduring it, there's a peaceable fruit of righteousness that's popping up. because God is trying to get to the root of stuff in my life. So in one sense, yes, it's worth it. In the other sense, it's tough. Because he is that wonderful, mighty God, everlasting Father. He is the advisor, the coach, who's put me in the game. And say, get in the game and face your enemy. He's the one who's showing me things that I need to be shown so that I can win in the game. That's what a good coach does, you know. A good coach coaches you and says, now go out and play the game. And as you're out in the game, you begin to understand and see, maybe I'm deficient in this, but I'm not deficient in that. But you grow and learn every time. That's what a coach does. A coach doesn't pull you aside and say, okay, I know I've recruited you. I know we've been through a lot together. I know I've trained you. But what I want you to do, I just want you to sit out. Just sit out. Sit out the season. I know you're our number one recruit. I know. Fans want to see you. But I want you to sit out the season. God doesn't do it that way. Each one of you were chosen. Specific. Has a call. Has a plan. Has a purpose. And God has done a work in your life and wants to put you in the game. And we've talked about this over the last 3 or 4 years. Being in the game, doing the hard stuff, losing your voice all the time. Going after it, struggling, doing things just because you know that it's God's will for me to prosper and be in good health, even as my soul prospers. But getting in the game, learning how to fight devils, tear down strongholds, get past my feeling, strengthen myself, fight, do those things. Praise God, worship, do what God has called me to do, even if I don't feel like it. And if other people say, you're not worth it. That type of God. Get in there. Learn how to do it. Learn my love in the hard situations, in the tough times. Get down with me in the dirty stuff, in the nasty stuff. That's where I want to be. Don't play patty cake. Don't play around. Get in it. Don't miss out on life because you're afraid of getting hit. I'm in it with you. I'm your everlasting Father. I'm the one behind you saying, go, go, go. Even though they don't like you when they go, let them go. I'm with you. But don't miss out on it because you're afraid of fill in the blank. Well, I don't like rejection. You're not going to make it very far. It's hard for me to do it when I don't feel like it. We're not going to make it very far. I believe God is calling His church back to the fight again. Why are you preaching about this all the time? Because you don't understand the gravity of it. You don't understand the gravity of it. You were fought. You've been fought since you were a kid. There's been an assignment on your life. And when you begin to see that and look back over your life, you begin to see the value that He has placed inside of you and what the enemy has tried to take in. And you think for 1 minute that you're not going to have to stand up in it and begin to learn how to take back territory and fight off the enemy on all sides. I don't care if it's Christmas or not. This was one of the greatest battlefields, the stable. The answer to what we were praying for and what God has promised came in a stable from a virgin. That was the ultimate battlefield. And when she delivered it, victory started. It started because the promise was being fulfilled. And you don't think that that is tested every day? Okay, great. Well, God has a plan for my life. And God, yeah, and God, you don't think it's tested? You don't think that any moment that you could be taken out? You don't think at any moment that if God lifted His hand Until your eyes are open that you see the gravity of what's happening around you, you won't take it seriously. Until you're in a real fight and you realize, this might be for real. Yeah, it might be for real. You talk about, well, I'm concerned about what's happening in the government. You know, civil liberties, all that stuff, that's been happening since the foundation. Foundation, not only of this nation, but look in the Bible. Sin thrusted us into issues. Issues. Rebellion. Bondage. The children of Israel were in Egypt for over 400 years. Bondage. Until God intervened and said, it's enough. Those are always being threatened because at the same time the Spirit of God is here, there is another spirit at work behind the scenes that's trying to tear down and thwart what's being said and what's being spoken. That's why there's an all-out assault on truth and righteousness because of the power of it. And if you will stand up in the middle of all that shouting and declare it and say what it is, you'll start to win. But if you regress back, you start to lose. That's why you have to be able to do it in the midst of it. God doesn't take it all away. He puts a light in the midst of it. If you don't learn how to stand, you're not going to stand at all. Because every time something happens to you that is counterintuitive to what your rational or natural brain thinks should be happening, you fall prey to it because you don't realize that, whoa, this is not, I can't understand this rationally. This has to be a faith thing. Because we got access into the spirit realm and into faith when Jesus came. And when you said, come on in, you entered into a new kingdom and a new realm now. With a new ruler. The government now is on his shoulders. There are things that are happening that you don't quite get, but you got to stay in line with the commander. This is a real deal now. This is a real deal. Don't think for a moment that your life is not precious. It is precious. But don't think for a moment that it's not on the line every single day. Every day. Every day there's a sign. Every day something's coming for you. Every day. If God didn't stop it or lessen its pressure, it would overtake you and kill you. You don't get it because you don't see that as the Spirit of God is moving and a lot of the world is here, there are things that are pressing in on that all the time, all the time. Just think about when you're not focused or engaged, maybe in the Word, or you're not consistent or abiding, you start to feel the effects of that because there are things now that are creeping in because you haven't got in a place where you need to be in order to withstand it. It's coming. It's coming. And so the more you grow and the more you walk in Christ, guess what? The more you got to get in, the more you got to stay focused because as you continue to move forward, guess what? There are now other forces. There are other things that are happening spiritually that are also encroaching that in order to get in that. You graduated from the one level now, but now you're on level two. And so now there are other things that you have to deal with. You're not dealing with stuff now like you were in like elementary school now. This is not a one-year-old church plant now. This is almost a four-year-old church plant now that was birthed years even before that. So you got to look at the fact that now you're on a different level now. Because not only are you on a different level, you've decided that you're going to stand for Christ and love God, embrace community, and serve the world regardless of what's happening. I'm going to continue to show up no matter who's here. So now you said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to go to the next level. Okay, we're going to test that. But there's beauty in that. You want progress. And if you're honest, you say that. I want progress. You just don't like the pressure. But that's what is required. It's required. Jesus was about to be elevated and finally go back to God. But the greatest amount of pressure he was feeling was when he was in the garden. He had passed through those other levels as a child, as a teenager, even when he started his ministry. But here it was. This was level, whatever you want to call it. This was it. And he had to wrestle with himself to decide whether or not he was going to pass through this one, because this one wasn't easy. This one wasn't just going to be, well, no, this one was going to be all of hell is coming at you. All of hell. And all of God's wrath. He said, I'm going to pour it out on my son. So he's got, not only is the enemy coming at him, but he says, God, why have you forsaken me? It felt like that because of what he had to experience. So now you're seeing him experience it on two levels. And for him to say, I'm going to continue to hang here because this is why I came, is a testimony that guess what? You can hang. You can hang. There are certain people that I like hanging with. You know why? Because they can hang with me. You know what that means? Intellectually, they can hang with me. You want people who can hang with you. You know that you're in a fight, you're in something, they're not going to bail out on you. That they have your, you know, they got your best interest in mind. You know, they've been through some stuff. Those type of people. I wanted you to be able to hang with me. That's why there are so people you can't hang with. Because you got to keep bringing them up. I love you, but I can hang with these people. You got to be able to get me in a level and just appreciate me when I'm not the way you think I'm supposed to be. Get on that level with me and know that there's a deeper thing we're serving here. Let's hang. Okay? That's what I want. So, Lord, separate them out. They don't need to be around. Just don't take them out. Because God knows what you need, not what you want. He knows what you want, but he'd rather give you what you need. Because getting what you want sometimes can be a disadvantage for you. God says, I want to give you what you need. But he wants to hang. You know, he can hang with you. Why? He knows what it means to hang. Come on now. He knows what it means to hang. So now you've got someone who wants to hang with you because I know what it means to hang. You can hang there for a little bit longer. You can. You can. You can do it. We tell people all the time about the clothes. We tell people all the time, listen, you're trying to be physical and you want to get better. You got to hang through this thing for at least 3 months. You got to get past the mental hurdle for 30 days. After that, you got to 3 months hang. Hang. Because then you'll start to see your mind change. I'm going to tell you this. Even in your walk with Christ, you got to get past the initial 30 days, man. You got to get past the initial, I gave my heart to Christ, and it's a week later, but I don't see anything happening. Okay, well, talk to the people for years who've been walking with Christ, who are still believing for kids who are wayward, who are still believing for financial breakthrough. Those people, talk to them. They're still hanging. They're still believing. Come on, church, we better hang. Don't bail out now. The gift is here. Christ is here. Light of the world is here. 2021's right around the corner. Don't bail out now. You got to keep hanging in there. Keep standing. I don't care what's coming. Keep standing. I want you to think. That's one of the reasons why we put that cross there, to give you a reminder. He's not there no more. And to remember what he did. Prince of Peace, the last one. Shalom. Completeness, wholeness, soundness. No deficiency. He's not anxious. Oh, man. He's not anxious. He's not broken. He is complete in every way possible. So that now he is able to, guess what? Sympathize with you. And make up what you don't have. Come on, you know, the peace of God that passes understanding, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus, where you don't get it and you're freaking out, that peace of God that says, that one? Oh, yeah. Because I know what it is. I know what it is to endure. I endured, but I am the Prince of Peace. I am. I can't find healing. You can. But it might mean that you have to continue to push in to that presence of peace and that side of God. You might need to push in. You might need to push in. Stop looking that way. Look this way. If you've ever been a mental health counselor or counseling, a lot of times what they do, and Maria, you confirm this with me, is what happens is, tell me about yourself. Okay? Why are you here? Okay? What led you to this point in your life? And good portion of the time, it's because of something happened that they did not expect in their life. They didn't get what they thought they should get. Or they had unrealistic expectations on someone and they thought they were going to fill it. And as a result, what happens is there was a fawning for things to fill. The reality is, a good mental health counselor doesn't ask you to keep coming back because they just want you to have a conversation with them. A good mental health counselor gets you to the point where, guess what? You start thinking differently about your life and your situation with the goal of, you don't have to see me anymore on this level. Because why? You're becoming whole. You're learning what it is now to value yourself, because Christian perspective, you have now put your hands and allow God to bring healing into your life and allow him to become that shalom that you need. I understand trauma, not making light of it, but he's bigger than that. I'm going to hit on this for a minute and we're going to close, because I believe right now what's happening is there is an overemphasis that the enemy is putting on trauma. And getting people to look at what happened to me, and all it's doing is perpetuating fear and not bringing the freedom that they need to walk forward. That's it. I'm telling you. There's stuff that's happened to me. You know what? Praise God. But if you're not careful, you will enlarge that and not realize that the scars that were in his hands and feet were for you, and that you don't have to walk around in that shame anymore. So it happened. So things happened. But guess what? God is bigger. Don't lose out on your life. Don't lose out on it and say, oh, I'm bitter. Get over it. Life's too grand to live. You're missing out because of that. There's stuff that's happened to everybody. Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's hard. It's the truth. Why would he hang and go through what he had to go through so you can limp the rest of your life in that area and that one thing? What kind of existence is that? I can't open up. Why? Listen, it's one of the reasons why there is an emphasis on getting right this year coming up. Getting right. You can't stay locked up anymore. You can't. Because I want to say this. If persecution does come, if difficulty does come, you can't question God's love for you all the time. You won't make it. Because you're going to look at it as hardship, and yet it might be hard, and like God doesn't love you, but it has nothing to do with that. God said that things were going to happen, and guess what? They might. Because in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The world is sick. It's sick. But You have a Savior who died to help as an antidote for that sickness. So you don't have to do what the world is doing. You don't have to be dysfunctional in that area. You don't have to be codependent. You can be healed. And guess what? Walk in the freedom and love of God. There is no fear in love. And God's going to start pulling stuff out. Pulling it out. Can't say it no more. Pull it out. Pull it out. You either accept defeat or you overcome it. There's only two options. Two options. If you wait and do nothing, you already lose. You got to push through. Somebody in here, you got to push through. Do you find faith? It doesn't come any other way. God's going to give it to me. Yeah, you have a seed of faith that is deposited inside of you based upon salvation. But with that faith to grow, you got to find faith through stuff. You can't just try to avoid it. God will give you wisdom. You're going to have to go through some stuff, face some things, face some giants, get hurt. You're going to have to find out who God is. Because why? It is your journey. You have to find it for yourself. I can't tell you how to do it. I can give you some a little bit of a blueprint, or I can give you a little bit of this. But even in that, it's small compared to the way God wants to do it. In you. Because God has something specific for you. And my challenge to you, we're going to start January 1, 21 days of prayer and fasting. January 1. What does that look like? It means that we are asking you to fast and pray for 21 days about God's plan for your life this year. Seek God's face. I'm not asking you to be perfect. All we're saying is pray about what do I need to abstain from for 21 days so that I can move on. Like me and Missy, we're doing the Daniel fast. Okay. We're going to go Daniel. All right. But there might be some other stuff. Who knows? It's not a religious thing. Now, don't be like, oh, I got 12, 5, and 4. No, it's not religion. It's about a relationship. There's freedom in it. You're just doing it in order to give God more of your attention. That's it. And then see what God does out of that. 21 days. We're going to open the church on Thursday nights for January, like we did in November, October, just to pray on Thursday nights. Come out and pray. You don't think you need to pray? 2021 is going to hit. We need to start the year off. 2020, you're going to look back and say, well, 2020 wasn't that bad. Right? Because we do that, right? We look back, I had COVID. I survived it. Okay, right, we look back, I almost died, but God saved me, you know. But your perspective, because it's not about looking back now, it's about looking forward, and it's all about perspective. So that means I got to start the year off right. Let's start it off right. Doesn't matter. Set it aside. All right, Lord, we're going to do it. 21 days. Let's do it. And then God is going to do great things next year. He's going to be good at the end of 2021 too. Still going to be good. It's going to be better. God's going to do better things. It's coming. There's better things coming. Better. And even in the midst of better stuff, because his church. We're going to have a great time Christmas Eve here. It's going to be great. Great night. Invite your friends. Just so you know, it's going to be full in here. There's people who are out today, or people have already told me, they're bringing their whole families. Like people who don't go here normally. So just be ready, because God is going to start to do some things in the community here. Gotta start doing it. See, he already has. You didn't know this year. You know, stuff's going on. You don't know behind the scenes. But all of a sudden, God's gonna start to open up more doors of opportunity. And so just be ready for that. Just be ready. Hey, God's doing something. I just wanna be a part of what God's doing. I can't afford to miss that. Been through too much to miss that. Hold on. Been through too much to miss that. I gotta be where God's called me to be. Amen. Let's stand up to our feet if we could. Father, thank you so much.